Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
An ambassador for the Dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Bucks Beat with Buck Ballou.
Welcome back to Bucks Beat Podcast, sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. If you're dreaming of a Lake Lanier property or a home up 400, call Mickey at 678-341-7474. Or go to GetMickey.com, click, and speak with an expert immediately. Mickey and his team are awesome. They've got experience and passion that's big in real estate. How do I know so much about Mickey? Well, he's a respected friend. On the college football scene, the talk of the coffee shop this week has been all about Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC and forming a super conference. And that's where we're heading, folks. Get used to the idea. The Longhorns and Sooners have formally requested an invitation for membership into the SEC. And that basically tells the Big 12 of what they've got planned in the future. Word on the street here in the Deep South says the SEC presidents will approve the move. Duh. With Texas and Oklahoma easily getting the 11 votes in the 14-team league needed to join the SEC. The big change will happen at the latest, July 1st, 2025. College football, folks, as you know, as you can see, is in for a big, big change. Playoffs look like we're expanding to 12 teams. Strength of schedule will become the primary qualification to make the playoffs, which means the old standard of winning a conference title, that's going to be minimized. Speaking of winning the SEC, Alabama's the pick coming out of SEC Media Days. Georgia expected to win the East in a landslide with 124 votes. The Gators, they only got 7. Kentucky got 2. South Carolina Gamecocks got 1 vote. And the Gamecocks are in full-blown transition with Will Muschamp out and Shane Beamer in. Let's bring on the voice of the Gamecocks and record-setting South Carolina quarterback, longtime friend Todd Ellis, to break down the Gamecocks.
Bucks Beat.
Joining me now on the Buck Ballou Show, we've got the voice of the Gamecocks and former South Carolina quarterback Todd Ellis hanging out with us today talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks. And Todd, I was just so impressed with Shane Beamer at SEC Media Days last week. Outworked the other head coaches as far as working radio row, had time, it seemed, for everybody. It's a transition year for the Gamecocks with Beamer taking over. What's been your first impression?
Well, Buck, you have hit the nail on the head with regard to his work ethic that he gets from his father. But the thing that I would tell you, because I think probably better than most for sure, would understand this. A lot of guys we run into in that position or close to it, high coordinators or head coaches, they are usually either really meticulous or big personalities that delegate some of that. I think he's the rare combination of incredibly personable, but also a guy who's got his fingers on each position and has coached in those arenas a lot and is a detailed guy. I think that's a rare thing. And, you know, he's always been that way. I can remember getting phone calls from Shane Beamer, you know, 3-4 years ago, and they weren't, hey, I want that job when it opens up or this and that. He's just checking on me and the family, never asked for anything else. He's just incredibly gifted in dealing with people. And I believe what I've seen on the field so far, and certainly the way he's done at SEC Media Days, you can tell he's got a plan and he's detailed, ready to go. It's rare, everybody, when you have a heck of start of any football season, everybody's pumped up. And sometimes when you have a new coach, that's accelerated, obviously, for your fan base. But I've never seen a coach who has not served as a head coach before make the kind of impact that he's had on our community in the football program. And it's because I think he's just really good and seen it done well at several places for many years.
What do you tell people that ask, what went wrong with the Will Muschamp administration? Why was that unsuccessful?
Well, I would say what Coach Muschamp said to me there towards the end when we were close, and I have great respect for him and saw the work ethic there and saw the details, saw the passion. I mean, there's nobody who wants to win more than he did. He said it. He just did not get enough good players. He got a lot of good players. He just didn't get enough of them to win the games and be the difference maker. I mean, Buck, you and I talked about it before. The reason we run 33 games under Coach Spurrier and his staff in a three-year time frame and we're in the top 10 is because most of the time we had the four or five best players on the field. And Clowney and Melvin Ingram and Marcus Lattimore and Connor Shaw, those were special players from two states or three, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Connor was really the big product there, and a guy named Alshon Jeffries included in that as well, and Stephon Gilmore. And so you have to have not just the good ones, you got to have a couple great ones that make plays for you. And Georgia has made a living when you were a player there after that time frame, and now they're good schemers, and Coach Martin is a good schemer as well. But generally, they're going to keep it close and beat you with a great athlete late in the ball game. That's how these games are won now because everybody's so good at coaching. So Will would tell you, I think, he just didn't win enough games, and that's because we didn't have enough special players. And Shane's going to be the beneficiary of a lot of good players that are in spots this year.
Yeah, I think he will do a good job out on the recruiting trail. That's just my first impression. Let's talk about this Gamecocks team in 2021, and let's start with a quarterback. Got to see Luke Doty a little bit at the end of last season. What are you expecting out of him this year?
Buck, he is a baby Connor Shaw. Incredibly athletic, great sliding out of the pocket. All the guys love him. Apparently he's tough. He's a good leader. But Connor Shaw did this. He made himself a great quarterback because he really improved as a passer when he first started out at South Carolina. Luke Doty's got to do the same thing. He's just not accurate enough right now to be an every down, every quarter type quarterback. And I say that going into the summer. As you know, when you start to get those reps, work with those number one wide receivers, and you know the scheme that's coming up, you can get better. You can improve. You can pick and choose what you're good at and work on those things as well and what you're not good at. And he needs to improve on his accuracy. That's not to say he doesn't have the arm. He does that have that. And he's certainly got all the other skill sets as well. But he's got to be more accurate. It still comes down to third and six in this league. I don't care what you do with your legs. You've got to stand in the pocket and deliver.
Offense, looks like they've got some talent to work with there. Two stud running backs. You've got four of the five offensive linemen returning. Trio of weapons when you include the tight end and the transfer Brown coming in from Georgia Tech. Leggett looks to be a pretty good player. What are you expecting out of that group?
Well, I agree with you in the running backs. I don't know that we've had stronger since Marcus Lattimore and Mike Davis, and in the backfield, the time of chances to go after him with Harris and the young kid coming up as well, who got hurt a year ago. So we're going to be strong at the running back game. The offensive line is good, if not really good for South Carolina standards. Don't think that's a problem there. But man, Buck, I don't know that the wide receivers you mentioned, the transfer, that you talked in Brown, we have big expectations for him. And Lord knows he could be a 60, 65 catch guy if he could prove to be it. Because when you lose Shai Smith, who, in my opinion, for whatever reason, was underutilized and we never got the best of what he can be, we just don't have a guy that I see making a lot of plays down in and down out. There's not somebody there that has proven to be a killer, someone that everybody's scared off on defense. So if you find somebody raw in those spots to play the wide receiver position, then they come out and it could be a very good offense. It really could be, or a much improved offense. But that's the position. It's wide receiver, and I just think it's hard to win nowadays if you don't have a bunch of playmakers. When I look at Ole Miss, and, you know, Lane's just out there calling up plays to keep up, for God's sake, in 45, 38 games, you better be able to score. And right now, I think we're missing one or two on the outside.
All right, let's look at the Gamecock defense. That defensive line looks strong. That's got to be the strength of the defense with the people you lost in the secondary.
Yeah, no question. The front seven are good. We need some depth at linebackers, but we've got some guys up front that can rush you, stuff you. And, you know, we had 2 5-star players and played at the same school year after another that should be solid on the inside and outside rushing folks. And we need another linebacker or two. But, my gosh, J.C. Horn and Mukwama, losing them in the secondary to try to find corners. And as importantly, you know, skill players in the special teams, which is a big part of Shane Beamer's belief in how they play. So we need some secondary players, and from what you just have heard me described, I think it's a solid football team overall, but I'm worried about playmakers on both sides of the ball. And that generally means we're going to be very competitive, be in the ball game with the offensive and defensive line and a couple guys that can grind the ball in the backfield for you. But at the end of the day, do you have enough guys who either take the football away from the opposition or make plays at wide receiver? I think that's Shane Beamer's concern this year.
Jordan Burch, we heard a lot about him in the recruiting process. Got some playing time, 8 games a year ago. Could he be a breakout star for the Gamecocks?
No question. You know, nowadays, even the good nutrition and the workouts and the everything that's done in the lifting game and strength and conditioning, it's trickling down to a lot of the bigger high schools. You know, Jordan played a lot of sports, and he's a diverse guy. He had a lot of interest off the field as well. I think he came in, Buck, with some of that, you know, the baby fat, not quite ready, not body ready for this level, at least on an every down situation. He's made major improvements in the offseason. He is absolutely explosive. You know, to me, he's like a Melvin Ingram. He could play down. He can play up. But his first step is brutal on some of these offensive linemen and tight ends. And he is a player that we're going to count. We have to absolutely count on him.
Todd, it's time for the Big Three.
Let's roll out the Big Three.
I've got to know, number one, how did you end up at South Carolina coming out of high school?
Well, there was this girl named Marnie Frotten. Took me out on my recruiting visit.
I've heard that one before.
Yes. Well, you know, it came down to 5, including your beloved Georgia Bulldogs, who did a great job in recruiting me. But I visited North Carolina, South Carolina, Stanford, LSU. I think that was it. Yeah, the final 5, and it was kind of coming down to that. And North Carolina had Dick Crum and that boring offense, and LSU was great. They had Tommy Hodson coming in. Of course, nobody knew who Tommy was at that time. And I would have gone to compete there, but I said, if I'm going that far, I'm going to go to South Carolina. Georgia did a great job recruiting me because Dooley never lied to me. I remember my mom telling him, I don't know what you need to do, but I think he's going to Stanford. You need to tell him whatever you got to tell him about throwing the football. And Coach Dooley would not sit in my home and tell me anything other than what he thought was the optimal offense for them going forward there. And he probably said it right. You know, he said to me, Buck, he said, you may not throw it 30 times a game, but you probably win a national championship. And that was probably true if I would listen closer with that. But I love Coach Morrison here at South Carolina, and we played an independent schedule, and there were 3 senior quarterbacks, including Mike Hold and Alan Mitchell, who were going to be, as I was a redshirt freshman possibly, and then I could play 4 years after that. And it all kind of fell into place and come down to South Carolina. So that's how I got here.
Yeah, and what a great career you had there. I still believe the all-time passing yards leader at South Carolina,
right.
Touchdowns.
Yeah.
You're up there with that. I mean, what a great career. Totally respected you as a quarterback and the job that you did back during those days. Do you work with young quarterbacks now? If so, what would be your advice to the young high school guy trying to get to that next level?
Oh, golly. You know, I think a big thing now that lacks from the – there's a lot of things that are hugely upgraded from quarterbacks being developed in high school. But one of the problems I think, Buck, now is that the spreads really limit their ability – or it doesn't limit it necessarily, but it doesn't require, and they're not taught to read defenses and get pre-snap and post-snap reads on defenses, which I think then slows them down to some degree in many offenses at the college level. So I would tell them to learn basic defenses, figure out how you want to look and see and read defenses at the snap of the football, what changes might be made. And then I'm a huge believer in you can either throw it or you can't. If you get good coaching like we did early on, and your mechanics are reasonable, you can do that. But footwork. Speed, agility, slide in the pocket, move. These defenses are so good nowadays. You have to be able to slide. You've got to be able to move, make that first guy miss. And that certainly wasn't a major part of my game by any means, but I think it's hugely important.
Todd, you got a successful law practice in Columbia, toddellislaw.com, for those that might need your services. Doing a great job there off the field. When did this announcing bug grab you?
You know what? When I was in law school, I had a changeover in the rights holder, which sometimes happened, and they came to me and said, hey, will you do sidelines? And I said, my God, I'm in my first year of law school. I'm barely holding on here. Then I realized all my classmates, you know, they're going to the games and drinking and doing otherwise. I said, I might as well get some experience in that. And, Buck, you know, nobody knows better than you. If you're a major college quarterback at one of these programs, you already are a spokesman. You've been doing it in press conferences for 2 or 3 years like we were playing and answering questions and trying to get your point across in a short period of time. And also it played well into my law career, you know, being on your feet, trying to be concise, get things out. And I love sideline work. I thought it was great. And other than the bad weather games, you know, I had no problem with that. Then it just kind of developed after that where they gave me a couple more gigs. I did Brad Scott's television show when Bob Fulton was getting up in age and took over doing some recall games. Not as successful as you have in a lot of arenas in that regard, but you've done multiple roles and a lot of different things in broadcasting. And then the time came along and they said, hey, you want the main gig? And I said, I sure do. By that time, I really – fell in love with it, and other than the hard work in the late nights where I'm trying to practice and get ready for the games as well, I mean, there's nothing better than a game day to be able to ride in on that team bus, get off, and then fly back from wherever you got to be. And, you know, Sunday it may be on 4 hours sleep, but I'm here. So I'm blessed. I still love it. I love college football. I just absolutely love it. If you took me to any game, really, certainly in the Southeastern Conference, but beyond, and put me in it, I would enjoy the game. I still get excited over great plays and, of course, love the pageantry of it all.
Well, keep up the great work, and we sure appreciate you. Todd Ellis joining us here. We appreciate you very much, man.
Buck, I appreciate you. Best of luck on the new show. Hope you'll call on me again, and have a great season.
Bucks Beat.
Great having Todd Ellis on, longtime friend, always respected him both on and off the field. Nice to have him on the podcast. I left SEC Media Day so impressed with Shane Beamer. This was my first chance to meet and sit down and talk with the young head coach. Obviously, he and his staff have got a lot of work to do on the recruiting trail. Look for him to expand the footprint for Gamecock recruiting into the Midwest. That's going to do it for episode 25 of Bucks Beat. First 25 episodes have included some of the Deep South's most outstanding sports performers, and I am truly honored to have had them on. Chipper Jones, Joe Simpson, Matt Stinchcomb, Eric Zier, Jeff Rancour, my man Lindsey Scott, John Smoltz, David Pollock, Tom Glavin, Dale Murphy, David Green, Kevin Butler, Leo Mazzoni, Brian Jordan, John Rocker, Jason Campbell, Mark Lemke, Chris Doring, John 4K, Jason Swain, Jeff Treadway, Aaron Murray, Steve Spurrier, and Todd Ellis. Thank you so much. Bucks Beat is sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. Back next week with episode 26.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.